Ken Watmore, your host of Power Players Radio, the radio ministry of 1615.tv. Thanks for joining us. It's Sunday and it's 5 o'clock. That means it's time for the Featured Artist Profile. This is a great show. Show where we get an opportunity to listen to a CD cover to cover, some of the hottest Christian music from around the globe. In my fortress, I will trust. Hey, this is Ken Watmore with 1615 TV, the GC Media Project. Thanks for tuning in today. I wanted you to hear an interview we just got, really the honor of doing. It was with Jimmy Needham and Kelly Needham and his band. This was an awesome interview, and this guy is truly, truly remarkable from a musician standpoint and just as a follower of Christ and a guy who loves the Lord. He is really concerned with his band and where they're at in their walk with God, as well as what they do as a ministry on stage. It's cool. I'll share a little story. He was telling me, you'll hear it in the interview, about how he used to just try and evangelize to everyone. And that was kind of his ministry before he became Jimmy Needham, who we all love to listen to. And I saw that firsthand one night after one of the shows. Very late at night, we're at a Sonic in Rifle, Colorado, and he's sitting there with this young guy who just happened to sit down with him, and he spent hours and hours and hours just sharing the gospel with him. It was an awesome thing to see with this guy. Truly a great guy, a great friend now. I can assure you that I'm proud to call him my friend, and he is an awesome interview for sure. You're going to enjoy this, so sit back, take a listen to Jimmy Needham, and be sure to keep in contact with us. Communicate with us via email, ken@1615.tv. I always like to hear from you, and keep tuning in to powerplayersradio.com. Hey, this is Ken Watmore with 1615 TV, the GC Media Project in Rifle, Colorado, God Rally Project 2008, and we're sitting outside the hotel with Jimmy Needham. Jimmy, how are you?
I'm doing dandy. How are you?
Excellent, man. Thanks so much for taking some time out with us and interrupting your schedule. I know you got a lot to do.
No, we're all good.
We're on in 5 minutes, and we're trying to take it.
Are we really?
10 miles to go.
I'm in trouble.
Oh, man. Hey, you know, I wanted to pull you aside. I really appreciate you taking the time. And I do want to ask you how a young guy, 22 years old, about to be 23 in 2 months, gets to be where you're at right now, man.
Yeah.
Your music is really blowing up, I guess is the word to use, or the words on all over the Christian radio. And I want to find out how you, at your age, gets to be at that point. Can you tell us that?
Sure. Well, it wasn't anything that I really pursued. I started writing music late in high school, early college, but I never had any real intent of pursuing it as a career necessarily. I was studying history and philosophy in school, which got me where I am right now. I don't know why I studied that, actually, in hindsight. Anyways, I wrote some songs, like I said, and I had some roommates that were playing shows at coffee houses, so I was doing opening stuff for them. I would play a 20-minute set before they went on. But really, my big concern with getting started with all this was my pride. I told several people no to wanting to pursue this career full time, just because I knew that the inclination of my heart was to be prideful if I was put on stage. So if this thing was going to happen, it had to be all God. And and sure enough, one day my dad came and saw one of the little coffeehouse concerts, and he afterwards came up to me and was like, "Hey, I feel like you have what it takes, and I want to fund a record for you." So he put up all the money to make a 12-song CD, just an independent thing. And that came out August 2005. It wasn't 2 months later, and I got a call from the president of Impop Records, who said he wanted to talk about flying down to Houston from Nashville to sign me as an artist, which is just, it was ridiculous for me to hear, because I'm a sophomore in college, barely passing Italian, and this guy's calling me to want to sign me. So it was totally a God thing. And now, I mean, it's 2-3 years later, and I'm working on my second project under Impop Records, about to come out in August, and it's just a real trip. But I'm really grateful, because God was the one that did it. So
cool. Are we hearing anything from this new record now, or is it all brand new stuff that we won't hear yet
tonight?
Yeah, what about tonight? I'm out on the radio, but yeah.
Oh, tonight. Well, on the radio, we have one song out now called A Breath or Two. Which is just, it was written during the really busy season in my life, at being in school, full-time, just newly married, and on the road every weekend, and just going, man, God, I would really like to take a pause, a rest in you. That one we just released a couple weeks ago. We got a new one coming out in July called Hurricane, and it's just about God breaking me down. And yeah, tonight will be primarily new songs. We'll play some of the old ones. It's actually really nice to get on stage and not play the same 11 songs I've been playing for 3 or 4 years.
Fence
so
Rider.
Yeah, so that but I will be playing like Fence Riders and Lost at Sea and.
Yeah. I guess you kind of have to play those kind of songs.
Yeah, sure. If people like, yeah, because you know you don't want to get on stage and they're like, who are you? And yeah. Then you play the song and they're like, oh, you're that guy.
You know, it's funny, I shared with you that I used to play guitar, and I remember I was playing on the street in Key West, Florida, and one of those things that people always ask you to play down there is, you know, Margaritaville, Freebird, and Stairway to Heaven.
Right.
In that secular world of music. And you get sick of that, so I can only imagine when it's one of your songs and it's off the charts, you know, like Fence Rider.
Right.
You know, it's got to be nuts. Everybody's always asking to play that song.
Actually, all we play is Margaritaville.
Oh, so. Really?
Is that weird?
Dude, it's cool. That's because
we I'm open and close every
can
show
I come
with that.
And play with you?
Yeah, dude.
Awesome.
I gotta go. I'm a lefty though, so.
Cheeseburger in Paradise. I'm a righty. We could stand next to each other.
Yeah. Oh, like a butterfly.
Yeah. I'll get mini tramps.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Sorry. Hey, let me ask you this, man. Tell me about your walk with Christ. How does He take you where you are now? I mean, obviously you identified early on that you might struggle with pride if you got in that position.
Sure.
So I'm going to guess that your relationship with Christ had to be pretty strong at that point, or it wouldn't even be a concern for you.
Sure.
So tell me, where do you meet Christ in your life? Where do you get on your knees and go through your place that you got to go through to come to Him?
Man, I'm at a really cool place walking with God right now. He's been teaching me a whole lot of stuff, which is a lot of the reason for this new record. I was in a place early on with the first record where I was seeing, and you can hear it all through the first record, which is called Speak. It's this running theme of going, are we as a people, the believers in this world, are we as believers concerned with holiness anymore? Because I was in college looking around, we were witnessing every Thursday night at the bars at my university, and I mean, 80% of the people we talked to that were hammered out of their mind were professing Christians. And so I'm in this culture where I'm going, man, does anyone care about walking the walk of Christ anymore? You know, and so a lot of songs were birthed out of that, like the song Fence Riders, and the song Speak, which is all about evangelism, being bold to share our faith. And yeah, in the midst of that, God began to expose some darker parts of my heart in that. He basically said something like this to me, Jimmy, I know that you have a lot of zeal for me. I mean, it's evident in what you're doing, and I know you're passionate. I was like a Vanjaman, dude. I mean, I wouldn't leave a Walmart if I didn't talk to like every cashier. And if I did, if I did leave and didn't talk to them, I'd feel like really guilty. So I was in this like kind of almost prison in myself a little bit. And God got me to the place where He's like, you know what? You have a lot of zeal, but you're just lacking love. You're lacking love for people and love for me. And so this new record is kind of a completing of the sentence of the first record. I'm dealing a lot with receiving God's love, because I'm a believer in the idea that you can't give what you don't have. And so this record deals a lot with, God, help me to receive your love and forgiveness so I can give that to a lost and dying world. And so I literally, just like I said, wanted to complete the sentence of the last one. So the first CD was called Speak, and this one's called Not Without Love, as if to say speak, but not without love. And and so God has really got me in a neat place of growth right now.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you saying that, actually, because a lot of times I feel that that people miss out on that the purest simplicity of His love. And you know, being a father with little kids, I'm a witness to that a lot, because you look at a kid who's reliant on you, and you know, they can do nothing but receive your love, and they can do nothing but give it back to you too.
Right.
And it's that pure, and Christ speaks to that point, you know, to us for sure. And I appreciate hearing you say that, especially, you know, being such a young guy. You obviously have a lengthy walk with the Lord, and He's putting you in some unique spots. And so,
yeah.
So thanks for sharing that for sure.
Absolutely.
Where does it go from here? I mean, have you stopped and thought about, all right, man, I'm on the road, and I don't mean the road physically. I mean, you know, using the road as an example, you're on your way up the ladder, you're down the road, you're, you know, climbing and you're top of the charts and everything happens for Jimmy Needham. And 5 years from now, what does that mean? Where are you at then? Have you stopped to think about that, or are you just taking it as it comes?
I mean, it's a daily battle for me to go charts, CD sales, sound scans, tours. They are absolutely vacant and they mean nothing. I mean, it is so the opposite purpose of what I'm out here to accomplish, to be caught up in that. And yet I find myself being drawn to going, where am I on the charts? You know, but it means nothing. It's meaningless. Success is being able to clearly articulate the gospel to people at my shows and through my records. If I can do that and get people hearing the actual biblical gospel instead of what I think we're getting fed a lot today in America that isn't the gospel, I feel like I'm doing the right thing. And so 5 years from now, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm doing it in this venue of music, or if I'm a janitor at a school who's talking to the kids there. If I'm accomplishing the purpose of being what the Bible calls an ambassador of Christ, this career doesn't mean anything. I'm going to walk off the planet and stand before God, and He's not going to ask me a thing about, you know, how many records I sold, you know, or how hot my song was on the charts. So hopefully 5 years from now, I'll be able to say whether I'm still doing this or whether God's called me to something else, I'm still doing the exact same thing I was. It's just a new avenue. So
yeah, that's good, man. I think if you were a janitor, you'd be a... You ever hear janitors sing in high school? You know, walk around, they clank the keys and sing.
Sure.
You'd be a singing janitor.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the kids would hate me.
Absolutely. You know, I kid with you about that kind of stuff, but we're having a good time out here, and I kid about your singing, but man, you got a great voice.
Oh, thanks, dude.
Yeah, God, you really have a clear, crisp voice. I can't. Did you, as a kid, you know, I think you shared with me that you did a little Christian theater.
It wasn't Christian. Road. There was nothing Christian about it.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. It was just musical theater. We did Shakespeare, and we did, you know, musicals like Anything Goes and all that stuff.
All right, we're coming back out of the break, and now we've got Jimmy Needham and Kelly Needham, his lovely bride of 2 years, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Cool. And I'll get right into it. Tell us how you met. Tell us about the story. Share.
Do you want to share?
Sure. we had a lot of mutual friends in high school. We never knew each other. We were introduced in college, my freshman year and sophomore year. And then he actually doesn't remember that, which is really fun. But then he found out later that I played violin, so asked me to be part of the band. That's kind of
yeah.
How
you
we
don't
met.
Pass up an opportunity when you get a really smoking hot, godly woman who plays violin.
And then I was going to ask you right away, were you really like, was that your way of saying, hey, I want to get to know you better? You know,
no,
you
I
know,
really did want her
really
in the band.
She was a good violin player.
Yeah, oh, she was
I mean,
the
we
bomb.
Know she's good now.
Yeah.
Here, but.
Yeah. No, she's great. Okay. But it didn't hurt that I was also into her.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that didn't affect my decision.
Okay. Yeah.
But I
mean, if you had a guy that was there and Kelly was there.
Who would I have picked? Yeah, who do you think I would have picked?
Oh, I'm hoping you would have picked Kelly. Bro.
Well, unless the guy's name was Kelly. That would have been... No, I'd still pick this Kelly.
Gotcha. Yeah. Sorry, Kelly, to detract from you.
No.
But so tell us, so he wanted to pick you to play in the band after you knew mutual friends and things like that. But how does the relationship unfold from there?
Well, he started teaching me guitar lessons. And then one of them, after the guitar lesson, said he wanted to talk to me. So asked me out, and we started. That was like 2 months after we were playing together. So, yeah.
Yep, I won her over.
Okay, we're not done. We're gonna dig in a little bit. So tell me this: Does Jimmy Needham ask you out and say, you know, I want to court you, and you know, is he on the knee, you know, pretty quick after the first date? How does the whole thing go?
Well, definitely brought up when we first talked about dating. That the purpose of our dating relationship would be to see whether or not we would be fit as good partners for serving God together in marriage.
Right on.
So, which I was really grateful about. He made his intentions very clear from the beginning, which is always helpful as a girl to not have to wonder about that. And we dated for 5 months, and then actually, after about 3.5 or 4 months, we had already talked about that we were probably going to get married. And so I was already working out my school schedule to where I was taking summer school. I was a year, a grade underneath him. So I graduated in 3 years from college to finish when he did. We got married, or we got engaged 5 months into dating. Got married 4.5 months later. So
that's awesome.
We hadn't even been together a year, really, before we were already married. So
it's good.
Me too.
Yeah?
We got married early too. I'll tell you that story in my interview.
Oh, great. We'll switch. Yeah. We'll switch it later. That's great.
After we play Happy Birthday together.
Sure.
Pretty bass player. We'll talk to him later.
We'll talk to him.
So, knowing the dating relationship, now you're on stage together, you're traveling around. I mean, I can't imagine a better situation. You know, I mean, my wife and my kids are here with me, and we're on a ministry trip. You know, this is a deal where we're covering this for the ministry. And I see that as the right biblical model, right? That your family goes together and serves the Lord together. I mean, Paul commissioned Priscilla and Aquila to go out and, you know, and correct and preach together, you know, as a good model for us as men and women on how we work this thing, you know, as a couple. So what a great opportunity that you have. You can actually go everywhere your husband goes and serve the Lord together and be able to do it with him. What a cool thing.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that for a minute now that you've been married and are doing that?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine it any other way than that. When we were engaged, we asked as many people as we knew that were older than us, that were already married, that we trusted their advice biblically, and asked them, or just tell us how to do this thing, this marriage, right. We don't know what we're doing. Obviously, we've never been married before. And everybody made it a point to tell us to travel together at all costs, even if that meant it's coming out of our pocket, the money for my air flight, you know, my flight there, my, you know, everything, all the expenses that came with it, to be prepared to pay for those ourselves. And we've actually never really had to, I think maybe but once, pay for something out of our own pocket for me to come, which has been such a blessing.
Yeah, it's been good.
So we always have made it a priority, and we'll continue to, and, you know, plan on when God does bless us with kids that they'll come with us too. We don't ever plan on separating our family, because our first ministry is our family.
Right.
And then it doesn't make sense to us to go out and minister, you know, and do a ministry that is greater, you know, enough to separate our family. That doesn't make sense to us to do
awesome.
It that way. So
I love that model. And you guys know, I mean, you've seen you met my family, and that's what we hold strong to too. And we haven't always been able to do that, but you know, that's the thing we set forth for all of our members of our ministry too, is that your family's got to be involved. Because, you know, it's God first, then your spouse, then your kids. And in that lineup, obviously your spouse and your kids are one unit. And, you know, it's got to be the way that you witness to them first and disciple your children, you know, to come up in a family that's glued together by God.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's impressive. It's good to see that you guys have that laid out. And how cool. Like, do you guys ever sit around and say, you know, hey, get your violin, get your guitar, and we just sit as a husband and wife and play music together?
No way, dude.
We really don't.
We're so busy. I mean, like, it is so much more restful when we come home to just don't do anything, you know? We talked about that when we were first married. We're like, oh, that would be so fun. And then we're on the road every weekend, and then we just get back and we're like,
We've done that before, but it's just, we love playing together. We really do. But that's what we do a lot. And so it is more restful for us to come home and go rent a movie, you know, or play Scrabble, you know, or
we're kind of like old people.
You play Scrabble. That is,
we love Scrabble.
Yeah, spades, hearts,
any big words that you know right off the top of your head? I mean, I keep throwing these questions at you, except from the
big words.
Profound Needham. Step up to the plate. So.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism.
Nice, very good. Now, have you ever really used that?
No.
Scrabble? I don't know if you have.
I've actually used I can't remember. Frisbee. That was my favorite word. I had the whole word on my little thing.
Triple words.
She's actually really embarrassingly good at that game.
Well, yeah, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, Jimmy, because
you know,
off camera, we talked about a story that probably wasn't going to go on camera, but now it might as well, right?
Oh,
you
great.
Said how your wife was the bomb. So
yes,
let's talk about this foosball game. You know, when you first...
Oh, yeah.
You know,
what about
tour.
That?
Actually, I think the show... Does the show start now?
No.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't? Because I thought... I got to go warm up.
No.
No? Okay, go ahead.
It sounds like she warmed up, you know, way before that tour.
Look, here's the long and short of it, okay?
Wait.
I'm just going to set the record straight. I challenged her...
And what were your exact
to
words?
To a friendly game of foosball.
But I just need to know your exact words.
I said in a loving tone, may I dominate you in foosball?
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Absolutely. Thank you for agreeing with me.
And I said sure.
So she agreed. And we played a game and it was fun. All right, next question.
What was the score, Kelly?
10-0. I won.
Okay, nice. You know, people.
It's just, you know, in some, I know you guys are from Texas and you did some. Not as Aggie, Giga Aggie, Giga Maggie thing, you know.
Giga Aggie?
I don't know.
Like an electronic Aggie?
Computer term, yeah. Something like that, but that must be a Texas thing. I imagine that, you know, whooping his behind in foosball is a Texas thing too, right?
Yeah, and that it will only happen in Texas because I could dominate you in any other state.
The altitude here.
Exactly.
Do we have a foosball table?
You know.
We can do that tonight. We're fine, we're in town.
Yeah, no, we're fine. I just, we're fine.
He's never beat me.
Just know that it would happen if we did play, but we won't.
And I think you and somebody else have tried to beat me multiple times, and I've still won.
Man, I say it. I said it before. I'll say it again. What comes before the fall? Is it pride that comes before the fall?
I think so. But I would do this with you, man. If we found one, I would team up with you, and I got your goalie.
Yeah?
And my wife can.
Okay. Just know my strongest position is cheerleader. So.
That's cool, man. You can cheer from the front line.
Done.
All right, cool. Anyways, enough all that. I just had to bring it up, man. Thanks for sharing.
No, thank you for letting everybody in.
I can tell
the
this friendship
nation.
Is now going, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We're going to be tight. After
yeah,
this.
No, we'll be tight, all right. Yeah.
So, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take another break here in a second and bring up your bass player and maybe somebody else in the band if we get them. But
yeah, we can try again.
We know it's somebody's birthday today, so we can embarrass them, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
Find out who beat them at foosball 10-0.
Oh, my drummer's birthday is today, and he doesn't lose at anything.
Really?
He's the strongest man alive.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty.
That's
pretty
good intense. To know, man.
Yeah, I know. I know. I found out the hard way.
I don't know where this is going from here, but we'll take a break. We'll come right back on the other side with Jimmy Needham, Kelly Needham, and some of the band. Hey, just coming back from the break. Now we have Jimmy Needham, Kelly Needham, Chasen, and
Blake. Yeah,
wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that was about
good.
To do it.
That's
cool.
Good.
So happy now. We're done. That's good.
Okay.
So anyways, yeah, now we got part of your band here. How many people were we missing actually in your band?
Actually, just one guy.
One guy?
Our guitarist, Tim.
And he's snoozing.
I guarantee it.
Yeah.
It's kind of his thing.
That's cool, man. Sleeping is okay when you're a musician on the road.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
We'll go by the room later on and pound on the door.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I will.
So, okay, so we talked to Jimmy, we talked to Kelly, so let's get over here with you, Chasen, real quick.
Okay.
Tell me, you're playing drums, and it's your birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday to you, Chasen.
I was singing to you. But it's not, so
wonderful.
We can pass by that. Anyways, it feels good to just not have to do that.
To not have to sing?
Yeah, I'm just doing this for a second. Okay, cool.
Okay.
So, you know, anyways, it's your birthday, man. You're turning how old?
26.
26 years old. Are you you're like the old guy in the group.
Yeah, right now.
Yeah? How does it feel, man?
It feels good.
Yeah?
I love Colorado. Never been here, but...
It feels good.
Where are you from originally?
Kentucky.
Kentucky, what part?
Western.
You know where that is?
Yeah, tell Western me. Kentucky.
Where in Western?
You know where Owensboro is?
Yes,
Owensboro?
I do.
Kentucky? That's where I grew up.
Is? Elizabethtown, you know where
yes.
that is?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I live there.
Really?
I live there, man. E-Town, baby.
E-Town.
So anyways, going into how you get hooked up with the band. I want to hear about that.
Well, it was through a mutual friend and a phone call. The drummer for Toby Mac called up Jimmy Needham, and Jimmy Needham called me.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
That's simple.
Recommendation.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool, man. And from Toby Mac's band, that's a good recommendation.
I think so.
That's cool, man.
Yeah,
have you guys ever played with them?
Haven't we played with Toby? No, not yet. But that would be a privilege because I heard his concerts are just killer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. You're playing with some big names. Chasen, do you ever think you'd be doing this kind of thing?
Never thought it in a million years.
Yeah, I thought you were 26.
Yeah, I thought you were 26. That's weird.
Maybe in another lifetime when we were cats.
Yeah, that's too Shirley MacLaine for me. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. So. Let me ask you this, man. You've been with the band for how long now?
About 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Yeah, he's. Yeah. I mean,
oh,
he's.
Oh man,
he's,
you guys are throwing him in the fire.
I'm telling you, dude.
Wow.
He's taking his fourth gig with us.
Okay, but you're satisfied. Please, he wouldn't be here.
Oh yeah, dude. He's been killing it, man. You'll see it tonight.
Oh,
your face will melt off.
Yeah.
He's good.
That's cool. Well, happy birthday to you, man. Thanks for joining us on on the set here for a second.
Yes, sir.
Blake, bass player.
Yep.
Blake, what do you guys got a nickname for him? Bass Blake?
B-Money.
B-Money in the house.
Let me tell you.
So, how about you, man? How did you get hooked? I can see the shirt, and you got that same kind of weird Giga Aggie thing going
on. Yep, Giga
Aggie. I'm kidding with that. I know it's Giga Aggie.
Yep.
I didn't know about the horns thing, but
right.
Aggies don't have horns, right?
No.
What is
an
Aggie?
Can't tell you.
One who ags.
One who ags. 4-H club all the way.
Sure.
Okay. Blake, sorry to
track. No,
it's
fine.
So tell me, how'd you get hooked up?
I knew Jimmy in high school from church. He discipled me during high school, and we were in the band at church. And then he asked me about praying to move in with him in college and be his roommate. And I was stoked about that. And so it actually ended up happening. I actually got into A&M, which was great. And so, and during that time, he also asked if I wanted to play bass. And so we just kind of started.
So you've been together since this whole thing started?
Yeah, it's probably been about 2 or 3 years that we played together.
Yes.
We go way back.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
Sorry.
So what, I gotta guess the same thing for you. You probably never thought in a million years you guys would be. I know Jimmy came that way. Jason, obviously, I know you just said that too. But, I mean, look where you're at, man.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre. Just kind of growing up in high school and middle school and for my whole life just wanting to do music. A lot. I would never imagine that we'd be doing shows, little interviews, whatnot, and especially playing bass.
Yeah.
And so it's been great.
Very cool, man. God has blessed you guys in a great way.
Oh, tremendously.
Every day is like a beginning of the voyage with him, right? Because
you
got to start over every day with the Lord and make sure that we're on board with him and following his lead. That's a hard thing to do. I got to imagine for you guys, and I've kind of talked to Jimmy about this, but I've got to imagine for you guys that it can get tough sometimes to make sure that you're looking to the Lord first.
Yeah, sure.
Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, I can. You know, before you really enter into playing music very often and even consider somewhat of a full-time job, you're not as much into your instrument maybe, and you can, I was more into the Bible studies and really seeking God in a lot of different ways, and then bringing on this this music has, I want to step up and be a great musician, and so I want to practice a lot more. But you can also get sidetracked of just making that almost your idol of just being this great musician, because you want to be, because you're in the spotlight, and you want to be good. And not that that's wrong to do, but making sure your priorities are set. And so that's definitely been something that has been a challenge, but very good traveling with Jimmy and Kelly, because they very much spur us on to good deeds and getting in the Word and making sure that before being musicians, we're Christians and we follow Christ. And and then we can say, we play music, but our first goal is to follow the Lord. And we believe He provides, musically and talently. And so, it's been tough, but good.
That's good. Let me ask you this, guys. You've got to, and I'd say this, but it might sound like it's in jest, but in all seriousness, two guys, neither one of you are married?
That's right.
Not yet.
Maybe.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, that shouldn't be on.
Oh,
so, hello, girl.
Hey, girl. You see me on TV? So, hey, listen, seriously, though, you guys got a great role model as a couple to look up to. And I don't mean to put you guys on the spot with that, Kelly and Jimmy, but seriously, what do you see as a guy who maybe has somebody, waiting in the wings, right? Jason, I don't know, you've got a girlfriend you might be, thinking about. No, not yet.
No, not yet.
Someday, though, right?
Someday.
When God says it's time. So let me ask you, what do you see in that as a couple? And it's okay to talk about them in front of them. What do you see from that?
Just from their example?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Very, very encouraging just how they've started out and how you heard earlier of how Jimmy asked Kelly to jump on board with him following God. And I think one thing that I've gotten tremendously out of this is just their priority of God first and the Lord first, and how that love for Him is supposed to pale, everything else. It's supposed to dim that down in comparison. And that's been really good, because when you set your eyes on the right thing, it's almost like everything else kind of falls into place. And so if your eyes are set on the Lord, it's really been a blessing, and He's been so faithful to just bring everything else into play. So as far as the relationship, aspect of just keeping the Lord first in conversation and thought, and putting that first in. It really does. It does fall in.
Chase?
For sure.
You know, they really go by what the Bible says of seeking the kingdom, and then everything will be added. I definitely think they wouldn't have each other if they didn't seek the kingdom first. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah. That's right.
I mean, it definitely shows when we're out on the road, you know, if Kelly says, well, we need to do this and that and this and this, and Jimmy's like, you know what, let's do this. All right. And so, you know, he's kind of our leader. He's kind of our troop leader, so to say, for, you know,
a den leader,
each other,
if you will.
For, that's right. He's definitely the leader for us, you know, just keeping us accountable and what our conversations are with each other and with other people.
Excellent. What do you guys do as a band to really make sure that that's the direction that you follow? Jimmy, you can speak to this or something. You know, what do you do as a band to make sure that you're on track and glued together with the love of the Holy Spirit?
Well, I think, we do a couple different things. I mean, you know, whenever we get together for practice or shows or something, you know, we make it a priority, like, or if we're doing a camp or whatever it is, you know, we say, okay, we're going to take this time where we could just be goofing around, and we're going to get in the Word, and then we're going to come together and we're going to talk about it, you know, just to keep our minds sharp and on the things of God. Outwardly, we really try to think of our ministry, what we do is kind of twofold. You know, we have our stage show, which is an aspect of what we do, but the other aspect, which is almost more important, is what happens off stage with the promoters and with the people that we're dealing with off stage and the crew and the fans and all that. Because you can be, I mean, we've heard story after story. I mean, I'm sure you have too, of artists that have put on great shows, but they're just punks off the stage, and you're like, man, that's turned me off of Jesus, you know, because of what you've done. And so our priority is to be a blessing to people like you guys and to people like the churches that bring us out and all that. And so we really try to focus in on those two aspects. Well, how we're walking privately, you know, I'm really concerned with my guys and where they are in the Word and with the Lord, and then outwardly making sure that we are a witness, not just on stage, but off.
Awesome. Well, you definitely have been a blessing to us. We really appreciate you taking time with us, all you guys. I know you guys don't get, you know, rested up a little bit before you go sound check.
That's right.
And then we'll catch up with you on stage in a little while.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely, man.
Thanks.